about the lad who gave his lunch. Amen. I love this incident in the scripture. It is it's awesome. And a few years ago, I saw this in a little different light, and it really changed, I guess, my perspective of it. I'd never seen it that way. And now that's the only way I really can see it. And so we'll look into that here in just a minute. But I think this is one of the most fascinating miracles in all of the Bible. Amen. I know Jesus did this on more than one occasion. As a matter of fact, every time that Jesus was leaving a large crowd of people going to a different area, he always fed them. He always did. He never left people hungry. So that teaches me an important lesson that if we come into the presence of the Lord hungry and we leave hungry, it's our own fault. Because he always provides for everybody that's hungry. God never wants anybody to leave his presence hungry. He wants everybody to leave full, satisfied, and completely filled. Amen. And so we're going to look today at this lad who gave his lunch. Focused thought is little is much when God is in it. That's an old song, by the way, that was written, I guess, back in the 60s, 50s. Beautiful song. Little is much when God is in it. And the focus verse is found in John 6, verse 9. There is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? Amen. And then John chapter 6, verse 1 through 12. And after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them which were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus had lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now see, there's much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. In the field he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a miracle. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. You talk about changing your life. Can you imagine how that young man felt for the rest of his life? That's a story, Brother Hunt, that he never ever forgot and never got tired of telling. About the day he got up one morning and he was all excited about going to hear this young preacher. And his mommy made him take a lunch. He's probably so excited he didn't think about eating. But thank God for good moms, right? Amen. Thank God for good moms. His mom recognized that he had some needs in his life. And one of them is he needed to eat. Boys like to eat, by the way. Amen. Most boys do it. This boy still does. Amen. After 60 years, I hadn't broke the habit yet. I still like to eat. Amen. I enjoy it. I know some people say they just eat to live, and others live to eat. Well, I don't know that I'm to that extreme. That's not all I want to do, but I do enjoy it when I get a chance. Amen. And so I'm sure his mom fixed him a lunch and did the best she could. She gave him what she had. The Bible says that she gave him, I like to call them biscuits, because when we think of loaves, you know, when I think of a loaf of bread, I think of, you know, Miss Baird's and Rainbow and Great Value, whatever. You know, I think about a loaf. Well, that wasn't how much he had. They were just small, like little rolls or biscuits, but they were made out of barley. And barley was the cheapest grain that you could buy in Bible times. And it's about a third as expensive as wheat. Wheat cost about three times as much as barley. So that tells us that he probably came from a poor household. And they had barley bread instead of wheat bread. But that was good. Barley, there was nothing wrong with it. It just was what he had. And two small fishes. Two small fishes. That's the kind I catch when I go fishing. Two small fishes. So that was what she prepared for him. And everybody needs to be loved. Amen. And somehow we jumped ahead there, didn't we? What in the world? Can I get back, Cherie, to point A? Thank you. There we go. Now I'm going to try one more time, see if this works. It still didn't work. quite a bit ahead here, but that's all right. Amen. And so everybody needs to be loved, and his mom recognized that, saw to his needs, took care of him. It's good to have somebody that looks out for you, isn't it? My mom came to the conclusion in life, and she was right. She said, if you don't take care of yourself, nobody else is going to take care of you. One thing I have found out is that people you do just about as much as you will. And so you can't go beyond. You can't ruin your health. Even in the work of God, this is an important work that we're involved in, but pace ourselves and take care of ourselves. And because we're still human beings, and we can't overextend and do more than we're actually able to do. Amen. But the lab's lunch, we learned something very particular from that. Now can I go to the next step? There we go. That's fine. Just leave it right there. Well, amen. God will use what we share. Notice Moses' rod. Remember? When Moses was a shepherd in Midian, the Lord told him to go to Egypt and to deliver the children of Israel. Moses wanted to know, well, God, how do I know that you're going to be with me? And all he had was this rod in his hand. And the Lord said, well, throw down your rod. And he did. He threw it down on the ground. And when he did, it became a serpent. Now, that was a pretty neat trick, wasn't it? And then the Lord said, pick it up. Well, I'm sure it was a lot easier to throw down a rod than it was to pick up serpent. But he snuck around and got it done. Picked that buddy up, and it became a rod again. So from that point on, every time he looked at that rod, he didn't just see a rod anymore, but he saw God is with me. Suddenly that became a symbol of something meaningful and powerful in his life, that God used something as simple as a dried up old stick, and God could use that to make something alive. And God could expose a miracle to Moses through a rod. And so that became very meaningful in his life. And the lad's lunch is something very simple. Just a lad's lunch, and I don't know that they had paper bags back then, but whatever it was wrapped in, it was just a lunch. That's all it was. Could have had a little shepherd's bag that he carried around. I don't know what he kept the stuff in, but he just had his biscuits and his sardines in there. But that lunch became something awesome in the hands of God. There's a warning in the scriptures to people that feel like they can't do much or don't have much to offer. You remember the parable Jesus gave? There was one that had five talents. And what did he do? The Bible says he multiplied and he had five more. The Lord gave to another man, he had two talents. And he multiplied and he had two talents. Which one is the one that hid the talents? The one with one talent. You know what I've discovered in life? There are people that feel like they can't do anything and they're not, don't have much. But hear me and hear me well. God will not excuse those people. God is not going to pat you on the back and say, honey, that's all right. You didn't have much. Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. He's going to require at your hand what he gave you. He's not going to feel sorry for you. He's not going to join your pity party. He's going to say, where is that that I gave you and what have you done with it? That's pretty solemn, isn't it? But God's not just going to say, it's okay, you only had one. Oh, no. He demanded the very same thing of the man that had one, of the man that had five, and that is that you use what you got. If you don't have as much as somebody else, well and good. You don't have to make five. All you got to do is duplicate the one. But God will require of all of us that we do the best we can with what we have, and he's not just going to excuse us squeak by. He demands that we do well with what we have. Isn't that right? Amen. We may not like it, but that's truth. Amen. Okay, there we are. Now, we've already covered that. This is really fun, isn't it? I don't understand how this thing's set up, but it's all right. We want to get by anyhow. The Bible said in a great multitude, everybody say a great multitude. A great multitude followed him because all his miracles, which he did on the them which were diseased. And so Jesus had all these people following him because of the miracles that he did. And there's a famous by the name of Vance Havner. Vance Havner had a way with words. He could say the neatest things. And this is what he said about the crowd. He said they were many, but they were not much. You know, you can be many and not much. And that was this crowd. You learn about crowds because there were the crowds that followed Jesus. And you remember, one day they all left him, didn't they? Left him standing there with his disciples. And Jesus turned and said, will you also go away? Peter stood up. Peter just seemed to have a knack for saying the right thing at the right time. Sometimes he put his foot in his mouth. But this was one time that Peter nailed it. He said, to whom shall we go? Thou alone hast eternal life. Amen. And so Peter, he got it right that time. But the crowds are fickle. And so I learned a long time ago not to put a whole lot of confidence in numbers. Don't get too excited about numbers. Amen. Of course, I'm like everybody else. I like to preach to a whole lot of people. But if a whole lot of people don't come, I just learn, just go ahead and feed who's here. Amen. That's what we're going to do. There's not a whole bunch here today, huh? But I tell you what, we may not have many, but we got much. It's better to have a few with much than many with not much. And so that was the case. He had a great crowd. A lot of people came. Amen. It was culture is an interesting thing. We tend, if we're not careful, to judge everybody by our own selves and what we think. Just because somebody has a different culture than you do doesn't mean that they're wrong. And just because somebody likes different colors than you do doesn't mean that they're wrong. Have you ever drove down the street and saw a house that was painted a really weird color, and you thought, who in the world would paint their house like that? Well, they like it. Does that make them wrong? No. They just happen to like purple houses or pink houses or whatever color it is. Lime green, whatever. That's what they like. Don't make them wrong, does it? You may not want to live in that house, but they're happy living in that house. What difference does it make? One thing that I think is important to learn as a missionary is to learn the difference in what is biblical and what is Christian and what's just culture. You know, if you're in a country where people like bright colors and they want to paint their church orange, and you know, in the United States, I don't think I've ever been to an orange church. But what's wrong with that? Why make that a major thing just because somebody likes orange and you like beige? See, culture's different, isn't it? Not everybody feels the same way about being on time. Of course, we have that here in the States too, don't we? But you really have that in other countries. When we would make an appointment in Colombia, they would say, is that American time or is that Colombian time? And I would say, that's Christian time. You just be here. Just Christian time. But not everybody feels the same way about time. They feel like if they get there, they're doing good. Of course, as I said, we still have that here. We'll have some show up here before it's all said and done. But they feel like that if they can get there and just stay to the end, that's one good thing. They do stay to the end. You don't see many of them leave early. They get there and when they get there, they're really there. I kind of feel like that's maybe what is here with this crowd that came. They weren't in any hurry to get away. They may not have been in any hurry there, but they got there. That's the main thing, isn't it? Amen. And when they got there, Jesus showed compassion to them. Amen. When Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now that's interesting. All these people. And Jesus is concerned about feeding them. There's a statement made from the same story we're reading in John, but it's also the same stories in Mark. In the book of Mark, he makes this very interesting observation. The Bible says that he was concerned because it said some of them come from far. Now, some of them, you know, they wouldn't starve on the way home. They'd have that far to go. But some of them walked a long ways to get there, and Jesus knew that they did. And he knew that if they didn't get something to eat, they wouldn't make it back home. And he was concerned about that. He knew that somebody had to eat before they were going to make it. Now, that's why every service, folks, we need to do our very best here. We need to worship our best. We need to sing our best. We need to preach our best. We need to teach our best. Because we don't know who's sitting in this congregation that may not make it home if they don't get something from God in that one service. Sometimes we're tired, we're weary, we're distracted, we're discouraged, and we think, well, you know, I'm just not going to, you know, it won't hurt me one service not to just give it all. I'm just, Lord, you know, I'm just so tired. But it demands our best because we don't know. I preached in a church. I don't even remember which church it was in, but on there was a plaque on the pulpit, and it was at the front of that thing, and this is what it said. It just simply said these words, as if it were your last. In other words, the pastor, every time he got up there, he was saying, you preach like you knew this would be the last sermon you would ever preach. In other words, give it all you got. And Jesus knew that there were people in that crowd that had to have something before they left. And we need to come to every service with awareness that there may be somebody here that'll never make it back. And you never know. You never know. So that's why it demands that we do our best every time. And Jesus knew that. He knew that some, and this is another point I always like to make. Years ago, Brother Alan Oggs preached an awesome message. It was called Some Come From Far. I'll never forget that. Now, you hear me, this is very important for us to understand. Not everybody comes from the same place to get to God. Do you remember Jesus said one time to, the Bible calls him the rich young ruler. He was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. That's why it calls him the rich young ruler. And but it says about him, Jesus told that young man, he said, you are not far from the kingdom of God. He was a good man. In every way, he was a good man. And so Jesus said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. Now, there are people, like some of us here today, maybe raised in the church your whole life. This is all you've ever known. I'm one of those. And so even I didn't have very far to come to get to the house of God. I mean, I was there every service. The worst thing I ever did was God had to deliver me from drugs. That was the worst thing. What I mean by that is every Wednesday they drug me to church. And every Sunday morning they drug me to church. And every Sunday night they drug me to church. And every revival service they drug me to church. I was always being drugged to church. That's the only drugs I knew anything about, being drugged to church. Sometimes I didn't want to go, but they drugged me anyway. At my house, it wasn't, are we going to church? No, it was church time. We were going. Just mark it down. Didn't matter what I was in, how much fun I was having, who I was with. Well, you're going to church, son. And we did. Now, I know people today said, oh, I'll never do that to my child because, you know, I want them to make it their own decision. Well, follow that with education. Follow that with language. Don't teach them English. Maybe they want to speak Ubangi. Don't force English on them. How would you be so cruel as to force something on them they don't want to do? Don't make them eat their vegetables. Let them eat cake. Right? Don't be a mean parent. Of course not. That's foolish. You know, we are responsible. Doesn't the scripture say that if you train up a child in the way that he should go, that he's when he's old, he'll not depart from it? That's what it says. And how true. I've seen that happen so many times. And you know, one of the greatest comforts is this, is even if a person is not serving God, is to know that at some point in their life they knew him. Just last week, we did a memorial service for my wife's youngest brother. He had been missing for 8 years, and we did not know what happened to him. And we knew that the last time we saw him, he was not serving the Lord. But you know what I do know? I know this. I know that my wife prayed him through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost when he was a little boy. And he was baptized in Jesus' name. And we serve a merciful God. And it doesn't take a long time to repent. And God is anxious to forgive. Now, beyond that, we have to leave everything else in the hands of God. But you see, it's a good thing to be close to the Lord. But there are some people that come from a long ways. You've got to give them a little time, a little patience. Have patience with people. Have patience with people. I've known some saints of God to be a little impatient with new converts. Yeah, they have. I've seen that. I've seen it happen. See, well, if you had the Holy Ghost I got, you wouldn't act like that. Well, let me tell you, God only has one kind of Holy Ghost. One. He doesn't have one kind of Holy Ghost for one kind of people, another kind for another kind of people. God doesn't have a black people Holy Ghost and a white people Holy Ghost, and a Hispanic Holy Ghost and an Asian Holy Ghost. He's got one Holy Ghost. It fits every single person. But some come from far. And some people know absolutely nothing about God. Zero. I mean, they've got to start from scratch. So obviously, it takes them longer to learn some things. So we have to be patient with people. Does that make sense to anybody here? Do not look down your nose at somebody. Amen. But help them. Especially, what is it the Bible said? They that know much, much is required. The more you know, the more is required of you. I used to hear about a lady reading the Bible, and she'd run across something she didn't like. She'd slam it closed and say, whoop, little known, little required. She didn't want to say, you already got it, sis. And now you got to do it. Amen. But it's so very true today that we are required to fulfill the things that the Lord shows us. So the crowd shows up, and Jesus turns around to Philip. Now, why? He knew this guy. Philip was a good fellow. I like him. He's a good man. Lord knew his quirks, as he knows yours and mine. So he turns around to Philip and he said, wherewith shall we buy? Everybody say buy. Buy bread that these may eat. So now Jesus already knew what he was going to do according to this next verse here. Amen. If I can get this to work right. And he said to him, to prove him, for he himself knew what he'd do. Now Jesus already knew what was there. He already knew. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? It doesn't occur to him. He already knows things. He already knew. Knew what he was going to do. But he includes us. Isn't that wonderful that God includes us? So he turns around to Philip and he asks him, he said, well, where are we going to buy enough bread for all these folks? And the first thing that Philip did was whip out his pen and start figuring out how they couldn't do it. I love people like that, don't you? You tell them what you're going to do, and they say, well, they start figuring out how we can't do it. We can't do this, we can't do that, we don't have this, don't have that. And they start figuring out how it can't be done. And that's what Philip did. He figured it up, said, well, there's 200 reasons why we can't do this. He said, we don't have enough money. When did money ever stop God from doing anything? That's right. He works in a different economy than we work in. Amen. So he figured it up. He said, well, he said it would take 200 pennyworth. Now, a pennyworth was a day's wages for a common laborer. So in other words, he said it would take about 8 months' wages to feed just a little bit. Just buy enough that we could feed everybody a little bit. He said it would take 8 months' wages. How much do you make in 8 months? That's what they were looking at. So he'd already figured it up and be done. Amen. And the Lord knew what he was going to do. So what will we trust? Number one, will you trust God's providence? We talked about that Wednesday night, didn't we? God provides. Jehovah Jireh. God provides. He has a way of doing things that are really not even in your consideration. But God can step in and do things even when we can't even imagine what he's going to do. Has God ever done that for you? Has God ever done something that just really, just, well, if I can just say it this way, just blew your mind? Because you would never have imagined that God would come from that direction. He does it all the time. He's amazing how God does what he does. And so God's provision, God's power. Amen. And then, of course, we have our little ideas. Amen. Our ideas. When we went to Columbia, we thought we'd do some children's ministry, and so we took some little puppets, and we thought, well, you know, we'll do these neighborhood programs, and we'll have, you know, 10, 15 kids, and we're going to do kids ministry, 10, 15 kids. That was 15, 20 maybe 25, if we really had a good Sunday. That was their children's ministry. Amen. But God had a different idea. Amen. And the time we were in Columbia, we had about 1,500 people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost just from puppet ministry. Not all children. Many of them were adults. But you see, God had a different idea about what puppets could do. I thought, well, you know, we'll reach a few kids, and that'll be good. They're still doing it today. I don't know how. There have been one since that time. But God just, he takes our little ideas, and if we don't try to force him into our box, he can do a lot of things. He can do far more than you ever imagined God could do. Amen. It's amazing what God does. Amazing. You know, we got our little website going and thought that was good, and we never dreamed that on Easter Sunday we'd have over 3,000 hits in Athens, Texas, United Pentecostal Church. 3,000 people. I don't know what that was about. I wonder if maybe some pastors were desperate for sermons and just started looking everywhere. But that's fine. That's okay. That's what they're on there for. Anybody's welcome to steal them if wants to. Amen. And so, whatever. But that's a lot of folks, isn't it? And it just keeps going. I mean, it's amazing. When they got a letter or a note from a fellow this just actually recently that associated with the church and wants to come excited about that and hope that he will. Amen. And so God just uses things. If we'll just let him, just put it out there. Let God take care of the rest of it. Amen. I told you that I learned this lesson earlier. And man, did I bomb. I mean, so bad. It was horrible. Terrible. Surely the worst sermon I ever... We used to have a guy, he said, when he did bad, he said, I dropped my watermelon. Amen. Well, there was watermelon all over the place, I'm telling you. I was bad. What I'm amazed, I'm sitting there licking my wounds, thinking about how bad I did, and God filled 8 people with the Holy Ghost. He taught me a lesson early on. He said, son, quit licking your wounds and get down there and help these people. It's not about you. It's about me. It's not about what you do, what I do. You just give them my word. I'll rest. So I learned early on, I can't save anybody. I can't heal anybody. I can't even help anybody. But God can. If I'll just get up here like Balaam's donkey and open my mouth and just say what he wants me to say, he can do the rest. Just let God work. That's the whole point, isn't it? That's what we're here to do today. Just let God work. And so this is what he does. He provides. He has great power. He's the only true solution to life's dilemmas. And I believe that we all believe that. And we've discovered that to be true. Amen. And so we know what God can do. He just does amazing, amazing things. This is not really cooperating with me at all, but we'll get by here. He keeps throwing up the wrong stuff. Couldn't be me, right? I'm not doing anything wrong, right? Surely not. Philip answered him and said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, but everyone may take just a little bit. So he was looking at the numbers. Well, the numbers don't always tell the whole story, do they? They don't, because God has a way of supplying your needs. I don't know if you've ever had that experience, but I have. I've actually sat down one time years ago, and I said, well, we're going to make a budget here. We made a budget, and guess what? Our budget wasn't covering. We were making it somehow, but the budget said we couldn't, but we did. I don't know how. But I figured out the budget, and the budget said, you're making this much, and you're doing this much, and I never did figure out how we're doing that, but we did. I'm not against budgets. I think budgets are great things. But don't just limit yourself. Don't limit God to numbers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Little is much when God is in it. Isn't that right? And so we can't limit ourselves. And that's what Philip did. That was his response. That's how he responded. Amen. But Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He already had an idea, and so he knew what he was going to do, and it was different than what everybody else thought. Amen. This is interesting how God uses different people. There were probably people in that crowd that could sing real good, but God didn't need a singer. There may have been some great preachers in that crowd, but God didn't need a preacher. There are people with a lot of talents in that crowd, but you know what God needed? He needed some bread. Isn't that amazing that in any service, any person could stand out at any time because it may be you that has what the Lord's looking for. Just you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so this boy had what the Lord was looking for. He did. And what an awesome lesson today, that sometimes we look at our own thing, well, God, what can I do for me? Amen. But you may have just exactly what God needs, what somebody else needs. Your testimony may be the story that somebody needs to hear. Amen. So many times, that's just true. Amen. That you can be the very thing that the Lord's looking for, the very one. You may have the exact gift for the exact time that nobody else has. Somebody that you look at and say, oh, they're much more talented than I am. But maybe they might not have the bread. You've got the bread. And that's what he's looking for at that particular time. Amen. And this is a great question. Andrew said, what are they among so many? This is the lesson that we've got to remember, is that we just have to put it in the hands of the Lord and let him do what he can do. You know what I like about Andrew? Andrew was, of course, he was Simon Peter's brother. We knew that, right? He's Simon Peter's brother. And everybody knows Peter, but not everybody knows Andrew. Peter was, he stood out. Everybody knew Peter. Still does. But a lot of people don't know Andrew. But you know what was neat about Andrew? Do you know how Simon Peter got to Jesus? Because Andrew brought him. Every time you see Andrew in the Scripture, he's always bringing somebody to Jesus. Every time. Isn't that amazing? What a great testimony. He's always bringing somebody to the Lord. I don't know what greater testimony you could have than that. Amen. While Philip was over there with his pen and paper scratching out how they couldn't do it, you know what Andrew was doing? He's looking around and said, well, we need some bread here. We don't need numbers. We need bread. So he's out looking, and he sees this boy that's got a lunch. And he says, young man, would you come with me? So he brings this boy that's got 5 biscuits and 2 sardines to Jesus. And he says, here's a lad with a lunch. He's got 5 little biscuits in there, and he's got some little fish in there. And that's what he's... What's that among so many? He was trying to believe, and he did. He brought what he had. That's the point. Everybody say he brought what he had. That's all God ever requires of you. God will never ask you to do anything that you cannot do. He never will. You know the first miracle that Jesus did? What was it? Turn water to wine, right? Did those guys do anything impossible? He didn't, did he? He said, fill up these water pots. How many here could fill up a water pot? Could you do that? That's not hard, is it? Now, if you can fill up 125 gallons of water, that's a lot of water, by the way. They didn't have spigots. I mean, they had to draw it out of a well. A lot of work. They got it done. And then what else did he say to do? He said, now I want you to just get a cup and dip some out and take it to the governor of the feast. How many could carry a cup of water? That's not hard, is it? See, that's all God asked. He never asked them to do anything they couldn't do. He never will. God only asks you to do what you can do. Most of us are pretty good at talking. And there's a reason that God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. Right? You figured that out, right? That he wanted us to listen twice as much as we talk. But most of us would gladly trade one of our ears for another mouth so we could talk twice as much as we listen. Amen. But you can speak, and oftentimes that's all God's asking you to do, just share what you know. Just give your testimony. Just tell somebody else what he's done for you. And that's what he's asked us to do. So here's Andrew. He brings the lad this bread. And he brings it to the Lord, and that's the best he can do. Amen. And so the Lord, you know, he could have called that boy up, couldn't he? He said, hey, son, why don't you come up here just a minute? He didn't do that, though. He let them discover it. He included somebody else. The Lord likes to give us opportunities to serve Him. He's inclusive. And I appreciate that about the Lord. He could have done this all by Himself. He included Andrew. He included Philip. And He included the lad. And eventually, He included all of His disciples and all the multitude. Everybody was involved in this miracle. At one point in time, He gave everybody an opportunity to serve and have an opportunity to be blessed. And so then the multitude was satisfied. Amen. Satisfied. So the Lord then does this great miracle. Now, I don't know how this happened. I wasn't there. We don't have a lot of details. One comment said that when the lad opened his lunch and gave it to Jesus, that all of a sudden everybody else got their lunches out and started sharing with everybody. And that's how the miracle happened. That's a pretty lame miracle. That's pretty lame. Now, fine. If that's all the faith you got, that's fine with me. That's what you won't believe happened. The commentator said, well, it was what the great miracle was, that the multitude was fed. The great miracle was that people shared. Now, maybe that's a great miracle. But I think it was more than that. Now, I know this is out there, but stay with me here, okay? You know how I think it happened? And let me just tell you how I think it happened. Now, I don't know. This is just my idea. But the Bible says the first thing Jesus did was get His disciples to organize. Everybody say organize? God's not against organization. You got to get organized to get out of bed in the morning. You got to decide which side you're getting up on, which lift first. And you know, you just make sure everything's working. You got to get organized. Organization is part of life. So he gets them organized, puts them in groups. And they're sitting in groups of 50. And then Jesus took the bread and took the fish. This is what I think is so great, is what you offer to God, He will receive it. It wasn't the best bread. This was barley bread. Wheat bread was much more preferred and much more expensive, but barley's all he had, so barley's what he took. He received the poorest bread, and he received the little fish. Amen. And you know what he did with it? He blessed it. That's what's neat about giving stuff to God. He blesses it. Anybody want to be blessed here today? Give yourself to God. Praise the Lord. Draw your circle and say, Lord, I want a revival, and it start right here inside this circle. Let it begin with me. I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. Give yourself to God today. And so he gave him, and God blessed it, and he broke it. We don't care for that part. We don't like being broken, do we? But that's part of it. And then he gave to his disciples. Now, watch this here. This is pretty neat. Okay. 12 disciples. 5 biscuits. 2 small fish. How much did each disciple get? Not much. Each one got less than half of a biscuit. Each one got a sliver of fish. And then the Lord said, go feed them. And they looked down and they said, what are we going to serve with, tweezers? Did you see that? Can you watch one of these disciples? He goes over. 50 men sitting there, hungry men. They're sitting there and they're looking up at him. Their eyes are wide. They're ready to eat. He breaks off a little piece of bread, a little fish. He says, okay, bud, enjoy that. Wow. But somewhere, all of a sudden, boom, it takes 2 hands to handle a whopper. I mean, it grew. And here's the man that you know, he served him just a little bit, but it multiplied in his hands. And then in Peter, it all grew back, and he gave some more, and it happened again. The next thing you knew, man, they're flinging bread and fish everywhere. They're getting generous. Wow, this is exciting. And boom, it just over and over and over, it just keeps happening. Now, how do I know that? Because the Bible says that when everybody was satisfied, everybody ate all they wanted, there were 12 baskets full left over. That's a lot of leftovers. 12 baskets full. Disciples were there. Hallelujah. Now, here's an interesting supposition. What if one of the disciples just said, well, that's just a little bread, a little fish. I mean, that's not even enough for me, but it'll help. And he ate it. No basket full for you, buddy. But because they obeyed and they shared and God did a miracle, each one got a full basket to take home with him. Amen. That's the power of obedience. Amen. To me, this is one of the most exciting miracles in all the Bible. It's just amazing. I don't know how it happened, but that's the way I think it happened, was that the bread just multiplied. And the miracle was done. I've always loved this phrase. The Bible says that and Jesus tells them, he tells them to get the baskets, and he said, take up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. That phrase always rings in my ears. Gather up the fragments so that nothing is lost. I think God still cares about fragments. Somebody said, my life is so broken that everything's in pieces. God still cares about your pieces. And he doesn't want anybody to be lost. So he said, go gather up the fragments. That's our job, isn't it? Amen. We can bring people to church, their life may just be in tatters. Everything's shattered. But you know what? If they can get into the presence of God, he can make them absolutely and completely whole. He can put their lives back together. He can put marriages back together. He can put homes back together. He can do miracles, and he's still in the saving business. That's what God does best. And so he said, don't let anything be lost here. No, man, don't you know that was miracle bread? Who'd want to leave any of that behind? Woo! Can you imagine what people, when they left that place, talking all the way home? Man, that was something else, wasn't it? That was the greatest fish and bread I ever ate in my life. And I thought my wife was a good cook, but man, that was awesome. Fresh from the ovens of heaven, God gave us that bread today. But you know the one I think that was most excited? He probably ran into his house saying, Mama, Mama, what in the world did you put in my lunch today? I want some more of that bread and fish tomorrow. I don't know where you come up with that. My mama didn't either. Amen. It wasn't what Mama put in the lunch. It's what he did with it. He gave it to Jesus. And the Lord took it from there and did awesome and incredible things with what the Lord had given to him. Amen. Yes, the miracle proves that Jesus was the Messiah. Amen. He talked about it in John 6, didn't he? That he's the bread that came down from heaven. You know what I think is exceedingly sad? The Bible says that the next day, those people wanted some more of that bread. So they came back to Jesus. And you know what he did? He gave them a different kind of bread. He gave them the word of the Lord. He tried to feed them spiritual things. He taught them the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. Amen. And he tried to teach them that. You know what happened? The Bible says, and they walked away and they followed him no more. But his disciples followed him. He said, "Will you also go away?" Amen. Peter said, "Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. To whom else can we go?" Amen. And so he understood that, and they followed the Lord even after all of that. Amen. And so, but not everybody can receive those things. Then those men that had seen the miracle that Jesus did said, "This is the truth that the prophet should come into the world." And so they recognized him as the prophet of the Lord, and that they did. Amen. And then the Bible said, and when they were filled, he said to the disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, lest nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered together, filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above under them that had eaten. That's just awesome to me that had all this stuff left over. Amen. Let me just encourage you today that God can supply all of your needs. Amen. There's so many stories that if we could tell you today. Amen. I love to tell this story. I hope that those of you that have heard it will bear with me. And let me just tell it one more time. The Lord told us, my wife and I, to go to Venezuela, South America. And we said, "Yes, Lord, we will go." We didn't have the money to go to Venezuela. We didn't know how we were going to get the money to go to Venezuela, but we said, "We will go." Well, a few days later, the police called and said, "Do you have a storage building at such and such place?" I said, "Yeah, we have a rental unit there." He said, "Well, somebody broke into it." And so he wanted us to come out and see what was missing. So we went out to that storage unit, and somebody did break in. They took stuff. Among the things that were taken that we could find, there were two things that had some significance. One of them was a guitar that I never learned to play, but it had some sentimental value because my parents gave it to me for my 14th birthday. The second thing that was missing was an accordion. I gave my wife some money one time to buy something for her birthday, and she went to Indiana to see her mom. And she spent that money on that old accordion. She found it at a garage sale. And she bought this accordion. And she said, "Well, maybe somebody in the church will want to play it." And I was not real happy because I gave it to her not to buy an accordion that somebody might or might not play. But nonetheless, so the accordion wound up in the storage room. Nobody did want to play it, right? So somebody stole it. An accordion and a guitar. So we thought, well, that's gone. No big loss. And my brother-in-law worked for an insurance company, and he said, "Well, you know, your insurance company might pay you something for that." I said, "Oh," well, I checked into it, and they said, "Well, yeah, it's not on premises, so we can't pay you the full value, but we'll pay you whatever the percentage was." And so I said, "Great." So we went down to the music store, and I went over, man, I found a guitar like the one that was stolen. I could not believe what it was worth. I mean, I couldn't believe what it cost. And so, I was excited. I said, "Honey," I said, "you know, that guitar that they stole, did you know that thing is now worth $600? And I was all excited about my guitar. And she said, "Well, that accordion, you know what it was worth?" I said, "No." And she said, "Well, I didn't remember. I remembered it started with a G and an A, and it had a picture of an eagle on it." And the guy said, "Well," and he went to the catalog, and he said, "Is it like this?" And she said, "Yeah, it looked like that." He said, "That's a Gabbanelli." He said, "It's worth $5,000. I fell in love with that accordion. I never did think much of it till then, but I sure did like it from then on. Amen. And so here's what happened. God used a thief and State Farm to get us to Venezuela. Now that's provision, isn't it? That's provision. Amen. And so I don't know that that's the way he had to do it. That's the way it happened. Provision. provision. God has a way of working things out if you just allow Him to. Amen. Give Him your fish. Give Him your bread. Amen. Let Him take care of the rest of it. Amen. Now that little boy, he could have said, no. Mama gave me this lunch, and she told me to eat it. And so I've got to eat it. And nothing, we would never have had this incident from Scripture. But because somebody had the faith and the obedience to share one of the greatest miracles in time and history, we have the story here today. And the hero is a lad, we don't even know his name. But one of these days when I get to heaven, I think I'm going to see a little fellow up there. Amen. He may not be little by then. But he's going to come up and say, "Do you know who I am?" And I'm going to say, "No, sir, I really don't know who you are." He said, "Did you ever read that story about that boy that shared his lunch?" And I'm going to say, "Man, that's one of my favorite stories in the whole Scripture." He said, "That was me." Amen. That was me. And we're going to sit down, we're going to talk about it, and I'm going to ask him about that. He said, "I want you to explain to me how he did that." I've always been preaching that when he gave it out, you know, it multiplied right in their hands. And I think he's going to say, "Man, that's exactly how it happened." But he might not. He might bust my bubble. But it'll be worth it in heaven. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you so much for your time, your attention today. God bless you real good. Amen. We're getting ready to change the order of the service. We're going to sing and worship and praise. And then in a little while, we're going to preach again. God bless you in Jesus' name.